becoming president. Craig?
Andrea Mitchell, thanks to you for some smart speculation. Now let's bring in the brain trust. Joan Walsh, editor-at-large for Salon.com, also an MSNBC political analyst. Perry Bacon, the political editor for The Griot. Matt Welch, the editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. This is a legitimate brain trust. Sometimes we have to fake it. Not today. So let's pick it up here. Let's start with where Andrea started. Hillary Clinton, one of the names most frequently mentioned for the 2016 Democratic ticket. Today's New York Times, the review section devoted its first page to Clinton's next move after she steps down from her cabinet position. She apparently told Gail Collins that she's going to take some time to relax. She might consider a home decorating show as well, apparently. Joan, are you buying Hillary Clinton's modest responses to questions about a presidential run?
I am buying it.
Really?
I think she genuinely doesn't want to run at this point. Okay. But if she gets some sleep, if she goes home, if she starts to hear from women all around the country who want her to run, and if she has to listen to her husband, who clearly wants her to run, I think there's a chance that she changes her mind. But I think there's also a chance that she doesn't. She could have a wonderful life doing great work on women's issues without being president. And I think that side could prevail, but it's going to be a tug for sure.
Matt, Clinton, not the only name that's being mentioned on the Democratic side. There's a new poll by the pollsters at Public Policy Polling. It's a Democratic-leaning firm. Voters in Iowa, they asked these voters who they would like to see run for president. Let's throw it up there. Hillary Clinton topped the list at 58%. But look at the rest of the list you've got. You've got America's happy warrior, Joe Biden at 17%, Andrew Cuomo's at 6%, and Elizabeth Warren at 3% there. Do we think that there's a chance, Matt Welch, that we might see a Democratic primary featuring Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden?
I think there's no chance in hell. I think Nate Silver is not putting his money on Joe Biden this time around. Now, Hillary Clinton so dominates this field, which is really remarkable considering where she was in public opinion in this country in the 1990s. I mean, she was a real divisive figure, not necessarily her fault, but people really made her a lightning rod for things. Now she's in a place where she's the Republicans' favorite Democrat. It's a very strange turnaround. And I think the Democrats, as that poll kind of illustrates, they have a really weak bench right now. The Democratic Convention, if you look at the star speakers every night, you know, if Antonio Villaraigosa, who is a mediocre mayor of a misgoverned town, is one of your stars out there, you got a problem. Hillary's so close to it, I have a really hard time believing that not just women, but men and all Democrats and maybe even other people will put pressure on her to run in 2016. The question will be is if the Democrats at that point have created a situation where they can continue winning.
Perry, let's talk about some of the Republican names that are being dropped as well. As we just saw in Andrew's piece there, Jeb Bush, former Florida governor, Senator Marco Rubio, frequently mentioned, all the time mentioned, actually. Paul Ryan, we know Paul Ryan, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, a name that's also frequently mentioned. Are there any of those names that jump out at you, Perry Bacon, someone who might be a front runner at this point?
I would say Marco Rubio. We know he's going to Iowa this month. You know, 11 days after the election, Marco Rubio will be in Iowa, the first state. So you know he's thinking about it. And if you look at the election results, the Republicans, I think, to me, can't have an all-white ticket, all-white male ticket anymore. Yeah. They've got to be thinking about the diversity of the ticket. They could, but they would probably lose. So I think they've got to think in terms of how do I diversify this party. And to me, Marco Rubio is a charismatic figure. He's sort of leading the line to me in terms of figures who are well-respected into the party. Tea Party likes him. Moderate Republicans like him as a diversity. He's a, sort of, I think, ahead of Paul Ryan right now.
All right. Yeah, guys, sit tight. Perry, I want to ask you about something you wrote on the other side of this break as well. Stay there. We are going to have much more on the race. Quick break here on MSNBC. Don't go anywhere. What does the path toward 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in 2016 look like? Let's bring back in the Sunday Brain Trust, Joan Walsh, editor-at-large for Salon.com and MSNBC political analyst. Also, author of What's the Matter with White People, her title. Perry Bacon, political editor for The Griot. Matt Welsh, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. Also author of the book, What's the Matter with Unreasonable People? I made that up, Matt. Sorry about that. It's a bad joke, too.
Thank you.
You know what? Because that was so bad, I'm going to start with you. Let's talk about Latino voters this year. We've heard through over the past, you know, 3 or 4 days ad nauseum, folks talk about what someone like Marco Rubio could mean at the top of the ticket for the GOP. But is it that simple? I mean, will it take a lot more than just sticking a Latino on the ticket to help the GOP make inroads?
I see you're talking to me. I couldn't hear the T. It's going to take a lot more than that. I mean, first of all, let's remember that Mitt Romney, as a candidate, was probably the most hostile to illegal immigration, and then arguably immigration, than any major party candidate had been maybe in my lifetime, or certainly in the last 30 years. John McCain almost lost the Republican primary season in 2008 because he was in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, and he had to double back. They're going to have to get out of that. They're going to have to be able to say there is a different path forward, not just to citizenship, but just to dealing with immigration as an issue, which is complicated, understandably, but start with more actually free market type of solutions and say, hey, look, why are we micromanaging, you know, the number of immigrants from each and every country? Why don't we expand the number of visas? So start with that, certainly, here, and start shouting down people who use immigration as a very passionate and very irrational issue from which to sort of project all of their fears.
And we are already starting to see and hear some of that from folks on the right, guys like Sean Hannity, who have come around on immigration. John, let me come to you. Let's switch gears and let's talk about this year's electorate, specifically your people.
My people.
Let's talk about white voters. Let's talk about white people. According to some exit polling, and I want to put this up on the screen, there's been a steady decline of white voters. In 2000, white voters made up 80% of the electorate. 2004, you see it go down considerably. 2008, down even more. And in 2012, we're looking at about 72% in this year's election. And here's today's Salon article, America, Love It or Leave It Behind. You wrote about the decline of white voters and the problem that it poses for Republicans. To use the title of your book here, what's the matter with white people?
Well, first, I want to not generalize about my people, because none of us can generalize about our
people,
of course.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to your world. You can tell me all about it. You know, President Obama won young white voters. He won unmarried white women voters. He did better in Ohio with white working class voters than other places. So we shouldn't generalize. On the other hand, at least 90% of Mitt Romney's voters were white. And that's a problem in a country that's now only 62% white. And I think that the Republicans are on a path to demographic extinction if they don't, as Matt said, get more realistic about the nature of the country that we live in. And also, I feel that there are, you know, you heard Bill O'Reilly go off on Tuesday night about the white establishment is dead, really not seeing himself as part of a multiracial future.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem. I think, you know, the title of my article was America, Love It or Be Left Behind, because this is the future. And if you don't want to get with the program of being a multiracial country, you're really going to have a problem being comfortable here. And
it was a fascinating read, Perry Bacon. So was yours as well. In your most recent article on the Griot, you point out that Republicans are essentially facing three different and distinct issues after this election. What are they?
I wrote about the history problem, specifically the black voters, where black voters feel like, for a variety of reasons, Democrats are more in line with them historically and so on. Hispanic voters, immigration, we know that issue, et cetera, et cetera. And then also, Romney lost Asian American voters by 47 points, which is more, there's just 20 more points than in 2008, which tells me the party not only has the history and the issues problem, but also is a little bit of a perception problem. We're getting to the point where now, if you're a young minority voter, the Republican Party is maybe viewed as one just in the popular image, it is as kind of the white party, and do I want to join that? And that's something that a more diverse Republican ticket would fix kind of all by itself. The perception of that party is not great right now as being one that's diverse, and they could change that pretty easily.
Matt, here's the thing, you know, and this is probably going to be an awful comparison, but it's not going to stop me from making it on live television. In college, you know, there are a lot of folks, you go into a party and someone will say, is it a white party, is it a black party? And if it's a white party, you know, black people might not go. If it's a black party, a lot of white folks won't go. Now you've got the GOP, they've got this diversity issue. How do you attract minority voters when you don't have any minority people at the party?
Well, there are some minority people of the party. There were some interesting candidates, including one who lost in Utah, Maya Love, who is not your average white Republican candidate. But I think what you do, I mean, Joan talked about young voters. That's a pretty important demographic, and Republicans have lost them, a generation of them, by 20 percentage points. And that's because they are perceived to be on the wrong side of social issues. We have just spent 4 years in a serious economic decline. All these problems, fiscal policies are coming up, and Republicans were unable to convince people that they were offering a competing image on economics. Democrats voted, I think, largely to protect themselves from the alleged predations of the white male party. And so Republicans, to the extent that they contributed to that, just shot themselves in the foot. They didn't gain any registration in the last 4 years. How do you do that in the current climate? So one way you do it is you stop using social issues as a way to play offense on the cultural war. Get rid of that. Start talking about economics.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Up next, though, 4 years from now, we're going to fast forward. 4 years from now, once again, we've been going all over the place. We went forward, we went back, now we're going to go forward again. What's topping the news 4 years from now, as in headlines? Who's president? The Brain Trust knows. They know all. We'll have that after the break right here on MSNBC, the place for politics and forecasting the future. Don't go anywhere. The Brain Trust is back for the last time today. Joan Walsh, Perry Bacon, Matt Welsh. Joan, headline on Salon.com 4 years from now, day after the election. What is it?
It's going to be two glass ceilings shattered.
Really?
Gillibrand Castro defeats Bush Cruz.
Wow.
I wanted to have some fun. Kirsten Gillibrand, she's out there. We got lots of
Which
fun.
Bush?
Have to, Jeb, of
okay,
course.
Okay, because you've got George P. You've got George P. down there.
You're have two
that would be quite the jump.
That would be great.
But. That would be a heck of a headline.
Yeah.
Perry Bacon, what's the headline in the grill?
Clinton defeats Rubio, which we've talked about earlier in this segment. We should, of course, acknowledge in 2004, if you had told any of us Barack Obama was president in 2008, we would have said, are you crazy?
So, right.
But that said, yes.
And Matt, what's the headline for Reason Magazine 4 years from now?
Well, I don't know about Reason, but the New York Post, catfight, Hillary scratches Condi. That's how I see it.
What? That wouldn't be on Reason?
No, I think Condoleezza Rice... I think she has a we would have one even worse probably yeah. But I don't want to commit to it just yet. But I think Condoleezza Rice has a non-trivial chance at being the nominee, and it would make for certainly an interesting dynamic and a lot of great headlines.
Here's the thing, Joan, because we all know that there is someone out there, if not a half dozen or so folks out there that we're not talking about.
Absolutely.
Someone who's not on the radar politically. Any idea at this point, someone that maybe you know of, because you know a lot more people than I do. That maybe the American public isn't familiar with, but that we will become familiar with over the next few years?
Well, I did toss Kirsten Gillibrand out there
okay.
for a reason. She's a New York senator.
That's true.
She's done an amazing job. A lot of women see her as a very strong contender on that bench if Hillary doesn't decide to run. I think Marco Rubio is an interesting idea. We know about him,
yeah.
whether he can prevail. I'd love to see Condi Rice. I don't see that happening. I don't think that the Republican Party is going to get over its issues around
right.
choice.
And she is pro-choice.
As Matt would like it to. I would like to see it too, Matt. But
Perry, is there somebody out there that we're not talking about? Maybe somebody that you know of that we'll become quite familiar with over the next few years politically?
We mentioned her in the poll a little bit, but Elizabeth Warren, I think,
she's so polarizing, Perry Bacon.
She's so, but to be a national ticket, you only have to have the Democrats like you. And, you know, the Democrats, she's beloved among Democrats almost.
And
when
is.
I was in Chicago election night, huge cheers when she won. She's a very, very popular figure, almost at the, not at Hillary Clinton levels, but probably beyond Joe Biden in terms of grassroots Democrats.
Matt Welsh, it would seem to me at least that the next cycle, there will almost inevitably be at least one woman on each ticket. No?
I think so, and I think also the one name besides when we threw out Condoleezza Rice, the one name on the Republican side that we haven't talked about who will be definitely running, I think, is Rand Paul. There's going to be some place for the Ron Paul energy to move to.
Oh, that's
right. It certainly didn't coalesce behind Mitt Romney, and Ron Paul behaved in this campaign in a way to set up everything for
it's
his son.
It's not a show.
Really
if Matt,
well,
if it's not a show if Matt doesn't mention Ron Paul at least once. Matt, thank you. Perry Bacon, thanks to you. Joan Walsh, thanks to you. And thanks to all of of you at home for spending so much of your Sunday with us. And thanks to all the folks here in the studio and in the control room as well for making it happen. Have a fantastic Veterans Day. Keep it right here on MSNBC for all the latest news updates. Have yourself a great Veterans Day weekend.